and welcome to Witness. I'm Rida Fakhri. One of the ongoing legacies of the American expansion of the West is what European settlers described as manifest destiny, but was in fact the forced eradication of the American Indian. From the earliest days of settlement until the first half of the 20th century, tribes from all across the United States were forcibly resettled to isolated lands far from their homes or traditions. They were promised compensation in the form of farmland and support from the federal government to turn their new settlements into a genuine homeland. For some, the land did come, but even then, it was rarely followed by support. For much of the past century, various tribes have struggled with owning land they could not use to sustain themselves. In their moving film, directors Hank Rogerson and Gillian Spitzmiller follow the journey of the families striving to preserve the land they own and build the lives they want to lead. Homeland.
Thurman Horse in Munchaupee.
El Kuta. 1962 home.
Montrump.
Let me talk to you. Ate no honey. Del tip hot. Tiwa trunka winka pralel.
I can remember some family members that lived there, and their last name was Bear Runners. And there's another family that lived down the hill here. Last name was Kills Crow Indian. Another family that used to live over here, their last name is Spotted Crow. They're still around, you know, they live in the cities or they live in housing projects and reservation.
You know, I can remember when a lot of people start selling their land because there's no jobs. And then they look around, they have nothing left. The land is sold and the house is sold, and so they end up in these housing projects.
People begin to depend on the tribe a lot, depend on the state and the government.
The self-esteem is always low. It keeps people down.
We're in Wombly, in the cluster housing where I live, and my house number is 246. I've been here almost 20 years. These government houses just tore the families apart. We talk so much about our way of life and the Indianness in us, the generosity is always giving, but we don't have that when they put us in these cluster homes. I know that there's going to be a different way of life, and I encourage my kids and talk to them a lot about the way I was raised. This is the land where we originally came from, out in the country. We've learned to live with the land and learned to live with nature.
See that little shed back there? That used to be where the chicken house was.
My wish for my kids is to live the way I lived. It's something to strive for me.
How many people live here?
Two adults and seven kids. Every application to bring it, we make it, we put it in. We go there and they say, oh, you don't make enough money. You know, you're not qualified for it. Their policy said you have to at least make over $2,000 a month to earn one of those houses. But now, since I don't make that much, like $1,500, then I'm not qualified for it.
We're not rich in money and material stuff, but we're rich in our life, our love for our children, our culture, and our language. We're rich in that.
Today's my birthday. Today I'm 42 years old. So, I guess I never really talk in front of people. I never say nothing to anybody. I just keep to myself. But I guess when one of my daughters graduated, I woke up and realized that, you know, I have a family, my kids have a future, and somebody has to speak for them. There's always a tomorrow. Only God knows when tomorrow's going to end, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be here for a long time.
On this reservation, it's really boring. There's nothing to do. It's just an ongoing thing, and people end up drinking and having parties like that, and they disturb other families because there's no jobs, you know, there's no kind of freedom or anything you need to do. There's no happiness. Whoever designed these housing projects did a bad job. You know, myself, I've been sober for 15 years, no alcohol. You know, I've been sober and I made it through this kind of life. We gotta find a solution. That's it. And today I'm gonna leave it all up to you, you know.
Giving ideas of solutions?
Drop a bomb here on the res. I was joking. Watch it burn, you know. I was joking. Burn the res. I don't know. So much problems going on, you know. I don't know what to tell you about. I don't know where can they can find their happiness. Hey, look at that guy taking off. See that with his handcuffs on? Oh. Hey, that's my brother.
Yeah! They handcuffed Uncle Matt! Uncle Van! But he got away. He ran down that way. He was handcuffed like that.
But anyways, that's what's going on.
Is that your brother?
Yeah. I don't know what I can tell you. You know, it's just that I'm kind of embarrassed about this situation too. You know, living here on a reservation, these problems, like, I'm embarrassed. I don't know who could straighten out the law, the government, or, you know, I don't know who. The people or even our religion can't straighten it out. Our, you know, our spiritual ways can't straighten everything out.
You're not
My dad gave us some land over the hill over there. They're trying to get a place over there. Trying to make it and be independent, I guess. I think it's a whole lot easier for us out away from the cluster home. The kids have been more happier just being able to actually run around and play too. And the housing, it's too much drunks, too much traffic. I'm more freer now. I could actually think without having to get a second opinion from nobody. Free to be me.
I used to manage a restaurant. Then my folks started getting sick. So I felt it was my duty to come home. I didn't have no job no more, but I'm still cooking. Maybe one of these days I'll start a restaurant, Potato Creek.
When it really comes down to, you know, starting a business, people don't even own their own lands, even though it is in their name. Because we're on a reservation and these are Indian trust lands, you cannot mortgage them as collateral. You know, you have to have something as collateral to, you know, start a business, and a lot of people don't have collateral because the lands, they are held in trust by the federal government and the Oglala Sioux tribe. And so it's kind of like totally impossible for anybody to start business. These are my dad's horses. Thank you.
people think that the dollars that the Lakota people receive are welfare, but they are really nothing more than payment for land. And considering that over $40 billion of gold has been taken out of the Black Hills, and somebody like Michael and Rita Littleboy are living the way they are, to me is more a picture of that, you know, the payments weren't made as they were supposed to be made. So Walking Shield, our goal is just to help the people who need it the most, get the housing to the people, fix the houses.
Last year, December, we met Hewitt and Phil Stevens and asked him if he could get us a trailer house because ours was too small, and he said he'd keep it in mind.
I will meet with the Housing Authority people and see if we can get one of the Air Force houses down here.
We're going to bring it down on Minuteman missile carrier.
Shoot it. Then we'll launch it.
Join me again after the break here on Witness. Welcome back to Witness. For many of the families living on Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, their land is as desolate today as it was when they were forcibly moved there over a century ago.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I can't do it anymore.
He knows it pretty good, huh?
I just recently moved up here, middle part of September. You know, I'm doing this for my children. I want them to grow up to be good people and learn what's right and wrong. And I'm teaching my kids our Lakota language and our traditional ways of life. You know, as a Native American, we live on two worlds. And to try to keep those two worlds balanced is really difficult at times.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't fuzzy, was he?
You know, on a reservation, a lot of children grow up thinking that that's a good way to live, not working. They don't see their parents working, so, and then when they realize that there's nothing there on a reservation, they come to the city and either they feel lost. They don't know what to do, so they end up using alcohol or drugs, or they end up in prison, or, you know, some find a way to get educated and meet people that would help them out in life. At least I can come off the reservation to raise my children in a good way, like the education system. You know, I see some changes in their language and writing and the kind of homework they bring back, you know. So I'm really, you know, proud of that. You know, I want me and my kids to leave from the state of South Dakota. I still sense prejudice here in Rapid City. You know, hopefully someday me and my kids could find a good place to live. Be happy, you know.
I wanted a home for my children. I prayed about it. I prayed. I went and did the vision quest, fasted, and went up on the hill, and I told God, I said, I need help. And then I had a dream. I dreamed there was like three hills. I walked up to these three hills and I met an old man. A real, real old man, and he said to me in Indian, he said, "Granddaughter, come here," he said, which means in English, when the grass turns green and when the birds we have returned. He said, on that second hill, he said, "What do you have asked for? It's there waiting for you."
These are the grassroots people, and yes, we can live on our own land and prosper, and that's what instills pride and dignity back into our people who can live here on their own land as the backbone for our land base. This is good.
Yeah.
It's a dream come true.
Yeah.
It's a reality. No, shit.
the spirits told me when the house goes up and what flies between heaven and earth is going to fly here too. To show and giving me more understanding of the dream that my wife had, that it's reality. And so the hawk or the eagle will come. It'll fly here. It'll fly. Maybe when we're not expecting it, it'll be here. But it'll be.
Something that my dad really stressed is education. And I really stress education to my kids. So even though it's just like kindergarten graduation, we try to make it seem some way thrilling, and this is your payoff.
Are you graduating today? What are you graduating from?
Kindergarten.
Crazy Horse School Citizenship Award for 1998-99, Catherine Whitehouse.
My kids, they're with their mother now, but I like to bring them back and, you know, and be with them again. It's financial things, you know, like a lot of people have financial problems, you know, and that's one of the things that I have to figure out. But my future is that I want to get a degree in my art. I never went to school for this, it's all self-taught. I wouldn't mind getting some education before I go home. Maybe a year or 2 years, I'll go back to South Dakota. And some people ask me, well, what you doing here, what tribe you from? And it said, I have a little teepee over there in the bushes. And I was walking on this road, and this guy, he had a big coat on, and all of a sudden he just stood there and looked at me and said, Indian. So I said, I spun around. I didn't know what to say, you know, so I said, a street person. That's just, you know, just a lot of weird stuff like that, you know, it's not weird, but it's just things that surprise you, you know. You don't see this kind of stuff back on a res. I miss my family too, you know. You know, I miss my family, and I miss my brothers and sisters, and I miss my kids. I miss them very much. I want to see them really bad right now. I really miss them.
The land issue is, it doesn't make sense to us as Indians just as much as it don't make sense to anybody else. The government can tell you how to live, tell you what you can or can't do, and I don't think anybody can make sense of what's going on. But at the same time, I think this whole thing that we call freedom, I think is going to come, and I hope it's while I'm still moving around and while I can still be able to enjoy it.
You could tell if there's a car coming way out, they can hear a little vibrate in there.
Here it comes, there it is.
Here it comes.
Look at me. Is it coming?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, look. There comes your house. Your house. Yeah.
This is where it ends.
Here's Sheena's kitchen.
Colonel, this is Mike Littleboy.
Hi, how are you?
This is fellow Colonel Burwell of the Air Force, and he is heavily responsible for us getting these houses down here. Are you happy?
Great.
That's the eagle I told you guys that was gonna come. Right there. Right above the house. That's the eagle I was telling you about. That dream that my wife had. They said, when your house comes, we'll fly, we'll be there. We'll be there for you. See that the dream that you have and the things you do has come to reality. They said, always have faith in what you're doing.
A glimpse of the dark shadow that hangs over the history of the United States of America. Thank you for watching, and I hope you can join me next time here on Witness.